Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Hi, welcome back to Good Card, Bad Card. Oh, this one's been a long time in the waiting. I think we originally said we were going to do this. It was either October or November last year. I know you were moving house. I know there was other things going on. And then, I don't know, whoever I arranged with, something seemed to go wrong. I said I didn't set high expectations. I was like, I'm going to do one a month. And I failed miserably even doing that. But hey, finally, we got it all come. Everything came together. This was supposed to be done last week. And then I was sick as a dog and I felt terrible. I was like, after all the rearranging we've done, Connor, I was like, I could not have done it. I was like, I'll feel better in the afternoon. And I was like, oh God, there is literally no way I can do this. So finally, good to have you on, Connor. How's it going, man?
It's going good. We're in a semi-permanent trailer right now. And then hopefully, if all the county permits get done, this has been like months in the making. They finally got around to permitting the permit for the septic tank to be put on the property. Then they got to put it in, mm-hmm. And then they got to get another permit to put the foundation of the house down before they can actually put the house down. So North Carolina, when it comes to like land and building laws in the state of North Carolina. Oh my God, it's a mess.
I don't think it's just North Carolina. Bill Maher was talking about this recently on Real Time, and they tried to put in like a public toilet, I think it was in, I don't know, somewhere in California. And the final costs went to like $500,000 because it was like somebody has to come and inspect it. Somebody has to check this form. It's like everywhere. And I think he basically was saying it's like this all over America now. Like you can go to different countries. If you go to China, I think the regulations are a lot less, but they eventually get a lot more done. So, hey, sympathy with you on that, but yeah, everything's bureaucracy nowadays.
So hopefully by May or June, okay. At the latest. The parents put the direct deposit on the house down in September. Mm-hmm. The original timeline was from late March to mid April, but we're almost in April now.
Yeah.
So now it's probably looking like late May, early June before we can get in. But the thing is, from like the last week of May and the first couple days in June, we'll be in Ohio for a wedding.
But North Carolina gets warm. I moved to North Carolina when I first left England, and I will never forget the moment when I was in the airport. I was walking to the outside of the building. Those doors opened and whoosh, that heat hit me. And I have never felt heat like that before. And that was just a random day. It was in July, admittedly, but it gets really warm in North Carolina for sure.
Right now, it's 66 degrees where I'm at. And there's a special weather statement that says these conditions started at 4:32 in the morning this morning. So it got warm quick this morning. And like one day in December, it was nearly 80 degrees for like mid-December.
Oh, my God. That's insane. Like, I know you're from Ohio. My in-laws are from further north, so they're like Akron and up to Cleveland. And if you're next to Lake Erie, oh my gosh, does it get cold? It's absolutely ridiculous. But that you've obviously noticed the difference just from Ohio down to North Carolina for sure.
Oh yeah, it's warmer about 80% of the year, and the sun is out 90% of the year.
I think I wore shorts nearly year round. Nearly. It was like a couple of months. It was like once that first bit of snow hit, it was like, all right, it's going to be cold for a while. But then after that, it's a beautiful climate, that's for sure.
Well, I don't think we've gotten snow this year. Well, maybe a few flurries, but other than that, nothing.
I have at the time of recording, I'm about to go on spring break in 3 days. So my youngest son wanted to go to New York City. I was like, great. He hasn't been yet. He wanted to see stuff. Yesterday there was snow, and on Saturday when we arrived there's supposed to be an inch of snow. I'm like, fantastic, that's not what I was hoping for on spring break. But well, the northern states for you.
A couple days ago it was the day before the spring equinox, mm-hmm. which I think was yesterday,
I think and that sounds about right.
It snowed about a foot in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. If it comes off that lake, yep. If it's cold enough, but, sure.
But this time of year, when it snows, it doesn't stick around long.
No, I guess, like I said, it's nearly April. Yeah, I think it said that the high on a Saturday when we're supposed to arrive in New York City is 35 and the low is 19. I was like, oh my God. That's the reason why, of course, you should travel south when you go on spring break. But hey, that's the way it goes. Now, I am glad that we established in early episodes of Good Card, Bad Card that this has nothing to do with cards. This is really a collectibles podcast. This is way more about the objects that people collect and interest them. And my favorite podcast, because I don't have to do any prep, I can find a few. I actually like to find things that are relevant to the guest and to try and make that bit of a connection. But for the guest, it's purely something that's personal to you. Why did you choose those items? What's the significance for them? So I believe from the tweets we've been putting out then that yours is mainly going to be soccer jerseys, or for our English listeners, football jerseys. So why don't we start the ball rolling then, Connor, with a good jersey moment, I guess.
I thought we were starting off with bad, so I'll just put these aside. Yeah.
Hey, if you want to start with bad, I can okay. This is very flexible. We can easily do bad first.
I have a couple. Well, I'll start with the obvious one. So you'll see the reason why this is bad in a minute. So this is the 21-22 Barcelona home kit.
Nice.
Here's the bad thing about it. When you look on the back, look who's on the back.
It's Messi. That Messi's a big name, and I know you like MLS as well. I'm shocked why this is bad right now.
So here's the story. This is when all of Barcelona's financial trouble started, and this is the season where Messi went to PSG, and I ordered it before he went to PSG, and I was thinking about canceling this order and reordering a different one, but I went ahead and decided to keep it for the nostalgia factor. So this is probably one of the only ones you will find, the 21-22 season Lionel Messi FC Barcelona home kit here. And this is a replica off Fanatics, but we won't talk about them. Another bad one is it seems like I'm cursed when it comes to ordering stuff. So this is another Barcelona one, and it is number 9, Memphis Depay. He was in Barcelona for about a season or two. I think it was only one season, and this was the 21-22 season, because I think in January of either 22 or 23, he moved to Atletico Madrid. And he's no longer the number 9 there. This number belongs to Robert Lewandowski.
Mm, yeah.
I remember when Memphis came in to Barcelona, everybody thought he was going to be that number 9 that they needed. And this was shortly before they fired Ronald Koeman as manager and brought in Xavi. So a couple of bad ones. Sorry, Barcelona fans, if you're listening, but had to put you guys first. But it's just cool to have those in my collection, because I went through a big Barcelona phase at one point and thought.
I don't think that the Messi one is a bad one. Like, I still see students around school. Like, we have a big Hispanic population at our school, and you ask them, who's your favorite player? It's Messi in most cases. And you still see that Barcelona jersey because it's an iconic one. Now, we don't really have a Hall of Fame for soccer just because it's kind of worldwide. Like, in most American sports, it's strictly America, and it's easy to have a Hall of Fame for that. Yeah, you still get your outside players coming in. You got your Dominican Republic, you got your Cuban players. I'm not saying there's no outside, but the game itself is played in America. If you were to have a Hall of Fame for soccer and you were inducting Messi, which obviously you would, what jersey is he wearing?
Barcelona.
It's Barcelona. That reason, that one's perfectly good. I don't think that's bad. I understand what you're saying, though. As soon as you got it, he moved to another team. Now, I have seen certain teams actually offering refunds, particularly when players change numbers. So I'm trying to think from the perspective. Yeah, or they've just whatever. But I've seen them definitely when they traded numbers. I think Nunez was one of them. When he switched numbers, they were like, if you bought the old one, bring it to the team store. We'll replace it for a new one. So certain teams are good at doing that. But
Luis Diaz this year for Liverpool switched to number 7.
I'm pretty sure they offered the same deal for him as well.
I think they did.
But I think once you leave, I think that's a different one. But that's kind of tough. Now, Memphis, though, what's the appeal? To me, Memphis, when I think of Memphis Depay, I'm thinking of Manchester United. And he was abysmal at that team. I know Liverpool were vying with Manchester United. And in the end, I was really glad that they lost out. Now, it could have just been that it was Manchester United, because there's plenty of good players who've gone there and been terrible. But yeah, what was the appeal for Memphis for you? Because from my perspective, he is definitely a bad cop moment.
He was good from when I saw it, Barcelona this season, the 21-22 season, but Barcelona didn't even pay a fee for him. So I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he went.
They still from overpaid.
Man United to Lille. I think it was Lille. And then in the 2021 season, well, one of the COVID years, either 1920 or 2021, I think it was 2021, Lille did the impossible and won the Ligue 1 title. And he was part of that team and didn't re-sign with Lille. He had 2 good seasons with Lille. One Ligue 1, then he jumped ship to Spain, where he still is at. But there's the appeal. The bad thing about the jerseys that are a couple years old is I don't know how well it's going to come on the camera, but you can see the white numbers and the white Unicaf, I think that's Unicaf sponsor and the name.
UNICEF.
They're actually started UNICEF. Thank you. They're actually starting to go from white and fade into like a mud brown. But.
The thing with soccer jerseys is they change sponsors so frequently that's part of the thing, that if you want to be the current fan, you got to go buy that new jersey, which is very different from American sports. They don't really change their jerseys that frequently. Like if I wore a Dolphins jersey from 20 years ago, it's not naturally going to stand out as a super old one. It hasn't changed that much. And for baseball, I think the biggest change might be for baseball for this year. Those new... Well, the new pants are terrible because they're see-through and they're almost X-rated from some of the pictures that I've seen. And the jerseys apparently are a lot poorer quality as well. And the lettering smaller. And I'm in no rush to buy a current jersey for MLB, that's for sure. But they certainly don't change very frequently anyway.
The sponsor, the Barcelona sponsors for a long time was Rakuten.
Yeah,
which is from what I've heard, it's like a off-brand Timu, like the Japanese version of Timu, and I think Rakuten's one of those shops that's more of a scam than anything else, because it's like one of those second-rate Timu shops where instead you're buying knockoff Chinese stuff, you're buying knockoff Japanese stuff.
I've had texts from them. I've had checks from them from some audiobooks when I decided Audible was too expensive. So I went through a different company and I got some checks from them. It's like you earn points for whatever. And I think you're right. I think you've described it kind of perfectly there. Now, the only thing with you going bad is I'm not sure if this necessarily messes up my order a little bit, but I'm going to go with this. So I was trying to look for when I knew that you were going to be on the show, I was trying to look for things specifically from Columbus. And I love it as an excuse just for me to go on eBay and go buy some stuff. So having been to a Crew game this summer, I was looking to see what I could get of the Clippers. And I actually managed to get 3 cards together. Now, the unusual thing about this from my perspective is you don't normally get cards from AAA or anything. It does say that it's a legit company. It's 1991. Now, as I've got to think of a bad element for this, and I don't think it really is bad at all, it has a logo that is not really approved anymore. So I got Chief Wahoo on the back, the original Indians mascot. And yes, so now that would be frowned upon. Of course, now it's not even the Indians, it's the it's Guardians. I had to think about it for a second. I was about to say Commanders, that's the Washington football team, which had to change its name for a similar reason. But yeah, I guess part of the bad thing is, and I hadn't really figured this out, and this is why I don't prepare anything. Originally, when I was going to talk to you, I was going to talk to you about my trip to the stadium, because we were kind of texting back and forth, and you were like, hey, can you see the stadium? I was like, yeah, we just drove by it, blah, 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 blah. And I was going to review the trip we did with JGB. Never got a chance. Mm-hmm. Never got the chance to do it. And I was like, perfect. I can talk to Connor about that that event. And then my computer broke and I have lost those notes. So I can't talk to you about it, which is kind of a bit of a shame. I was hoping to talk baseball. I actually forgot you came on Good Bad Baseball as well. I was looking through my episodes and I was like, oh, Connor's there. I forgot I already talked to you about that. Another one of my shows that I don't do anywhere near as frequently as I should do. But hey, that's, you know. But the thing that I really liked about, and this is a bad cop moment section, the thing I really liked from that stadium was we got unusual tickets. We got the cheapest seats possible at that stadium, which is actually, it was on top of the team store. And it was like bleachers on top of the team store. And it was all the way out on the third base. No, not the third base. It was the outfield. It was the left outfield. And it was actually really cool. I love that novelty. You had to walk through the gift shop into an elevator, which is all air conditioned, travel up the elevator, do a little lap, and then you could get out on top. It was a cool stadium. I had a great time. The stadium was packed. I was impressed how many people were there. So, yeah. I wish I could remember more, but I've lost my notes. I have no idea who they played. I have no idea what the final score was. I do remember that there was a discount on food, because I remember we went to the concessions were packed. It might have been something like Dollar Dog Day, which is always fun when you can get food.
Dollar Dog,
But yeah, I remember waiting a long time. Oh, I think sodas were a dollar as well, which of course on a hot day, everyone's going to take a soda for a dollar. But yeah, that was my bad one. And the players themselves are, and I don't think I recognize any of these players, Pat Bryant, Jason Hartke, and Bill Wirtz. Perhaps some of our people who are more fluent on baseball might recognize some of these people. But yeah, these are all 1991 cards. So if I remember correctly, I think the Indians won the World Series in around 97, possibly. So some of these players might have gone on to move on to them. Because I think the AAA, I think I'm right in saying the crew are AAA.
The Clippers.
Oh my gosh, I got to stop doing that. The Clippers, thank you, are a AAA. And this is actually when they were the Indians. But I think the Clippers are actually AAA for the Yankees, I thought I saw. I don't think it is the Indians anymore.
No, it is the Guardians.
I can't cope with all these name changes, Connor. It's too much for me. It's way too much for me. Whew. All right, what about some good shirts then? I'm assuming an Arsenal one might make it in there.
Okay.
Or a crew one. Oh, a crew would probably be a better one. Oh, you're still deciding.
We will save this one for last, because that's probably my favorite one in the whole collection. All right. Okay. So a couple good ones here. You were right. It is a crew and Arsenal one. But so here is what I have here is the authentic Columbus Crew 2024 to 2025 home kit. They call it the home kit, but it is adequately nicknamed by fans as a Charlie Brown kit, because for your listeners out there, if you were to just Google Columbus Crew 2024 home kit and a picture of Charlie Brown's t-shirt, you would see the similarities there. But
definitely.
Normally, I don't buy authentic kits just because they're $200, and $200 for an authentic kit is absolutely fucking ridiculous. But yeah. I wanted this one for one specific reason, just because it has the third star up there above the crest. And I told myself back in December, I am going to buy a third star kit when the new ones are released. And I went ahead and got a $70 gift card, Fanatics gift card for Christmas. So that was $70 I didn't have to pay out of pocket for a shirt like this. But one of my favorite features of here on the sleeve, you see the MLS badge now with the MLS Cup in it. The only clubs with this MLS badge with the cup in it and the amount of times they've won the cup are the the defending cup champions. So that's a cool little feature. And then you got the Apple TV logo, of course. And then you got the other sleeve sponsor of Tipico Sportsbook, which is the main sportsbook of the crew. I don't bet, but I've heard it's not very good. And then I'm going to give you two guesses of who I got on the back.
Now, I think I saw the number. I thought the number said 9 when you were turning it around or you were moving it around. I don't remember who that is, though. I don't watch MLS that frequently. So I know I watched that final game because that was on the volley. I was making sure that was one of those. I was like, you got to have that one on there. Oh, my gosh. I have no idea. I have no idea.
So I'm going to flip it back, and it's actually one of my favorite players on this team. Cucho Hernandez, number 9, the DP striker, joined from Watford in June of 2022 for a club. I think it was either a club record or close to it. I think it was club record of $10 million. Mm-hmm. So he's in contract until December 2025. Hopefully we can renew him in the offseason or sometime between then. But knowing me, I love my strikers. And I have a bunch of number 10s, but I decided to go with the number 9 because I'm a big fan of strikers, and they don't sell goalkeeper kits with names and numbers on the back. If you want stuff like that, you have to customize it, and customizing takes about a month to get here and cost a whole lot more. So I just figured, fuck it, I'll buy the Cucho one of my favorite players on this current team, and then one of my favorite things on the back here. Probably can't read that, but it's the outline of the state of Ohio, and it says the heart of American soccer. I forget what year it was, but the famous 2-0 game against Mexico happened at historic Crew Stadium. I don't remember what year that. Well, I don't know what year that was. I'm gonna have to look it up sometime. But yeah, that's one of my favorite ones in the collection, even though it is Fanatics branded. And then at the bottom, it just has authentic 2425. So
I can see it was the state of Ohio. As blurry as it was, I know the state of Ohio just from my in-laws. But I could not see what it said on the badge at all. I could
see
writing, but yeah, I recognize the shape. I don't know many shapes for states, but Ohio is, well, there was obviously a clue with it being a crew shirt as well, which made it a little easier.
Yeah. And then I didn't point it out, but in the tag right in like the collar area, it says Todos Son Invitados, which is like the club motto for the season, and that's for, and that's Spanish for everyone is invited. I think I could be wrong, but Columbus has a big Hispanic population as well. But yeah, the only thing that I'm confused about with this jersey is with the in the V-neck lining, it kind of has like this little like pocket here. That's just there. Like, it's just there. I don't know what purpose it serves.
It's like a neck. Yeah.
It goes like right here and it just sits there. But
is it I'm spitballing. I have no idea. So it's actually on the front of the jersey. I thought it was on the back of the jersey. Is it for a player to put their chain in or something? So it doesn't like swing around while they're playing.
Well,
a possibility?
I don't know, because it's not an open pocket. It's like sewn together. I don't know why they put that there, but I'm not mad, obviously. But I would have liked it if it was just that open V-neck, like a lot of jerseys are.
I think it looks nice, actually. I know the more traditional V. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I actually think that looks nice. I don't know if it's just because it's not that. I don't know if it just breaks up that V. I don't know. Now, the one thing I forgot, and I said I'd actually got some prep done for you, was I decided to look for between each segment something jersey-related, and of course, I totally forgot to do it after the first one. So, the first section I had for the good one I looked up what's the 8 most expensive jerseys of all time, since you were collecting them together. And I was shocked in the differences in prices. So the 8th, according, I don't know where this came from, the 8th most expensive jersey was Eric Cantona, 15,000. These are pounds, so it's a similar in dollars. It's near enough. George Best was 7th, 24,000 pounds. Paul Gascoigne, 28,000 pounds. Cristiano Ronaldo was 5th at 39,000 pounds. So these are all players who played in England for sure. After that, we're starting to get a jump. Sir Geoff Hurst, who played in England's 1966 World Cup final team, 91,000. After that, Pele, 157,000. Obviously, Pele generally is considered one of the best players of all time. Messi might be overtaking him, possibly. Here's the big jump. This is where it surprised me. In second, Lionel Messi, 6.1 million. Holy cow, that's a big jump. 157,000 up to 6.1 million. And the number one jersey was 7.1 million. Any ideas whose jersey that might be, Connor? That's some pretty big names I already mentioned. Diego Maradona, the Argentine captain. Obviously, now he's dead. That's obviously it's something that you... I'm going to guess it was probably autographed or something like that. But yeah, definitely in terms of collectibles, there's some serious money out there. But I thought that was interesting just to see.
Do you want me to go ahead and... Because I have an Arsenal shirt here. It's pretty much like the same one that I'm wearing. That's in the good category.
Or oh, do you want absolutely.
Me to,
bring me on.
Or, yeah, do you want me to talk about
nice.
That?
I said I'm going to give you flexibility. I know that you love your jerseys, and I said I'm not going to limit you to 3. So, absolutely. If you've got another good jersey in there, go ahead. Bring it on. Hey, I just showed 3 cards for my bad one, so go ahead.
So, actually, I'll say this one for the last that I have over here, because it's probably my favorite that I have. Like, it's like my baby of the collection so far. So, this was a birthday gift to myself. Mm-hmm. It is the Arsenal 22-23, so this current season, home shirt. And what I really like, so this isn't the authentic version. This and this are the replicas that were bought off of soccer.com.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really like, I wish Premier League teams kept their shirts for more than a year, because I really like this one. Like, this one is probably the best of the best that I've seen so far. The red sticks out. The red sticks out on both the front and the back.
Yeah.
The white and the gold go together here. I really like the gold Adidas logo and the gold outline Arsenal badge.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got a mixed mash of red sleeves with like a gold trim. And then you got a gold Rwanda sleeve sponsor right there. And then on the sleeve, the Premier League logo just fits perfectly. Now, with the authentic version of these. So these were on sale the last match day of the 22-23 season. So this past season. Because Arsenal wore them their final game against Wolves, which I think they won like 5-0 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, so for the authentic, this won't have it on there because it's a replica. But for the authentic, they have, I think it's like right in there or all around the collar. Mm-hmm. It has the results of the 2003-2004 Invincible season where Arsenal won the league, and they actually had to recall them and like refund people their money because Adidas got one of the results wrong.
Shut up, nobody proof checked that. That should have been the bad cop moment right there. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Luckily, I didn't have to go through that, but they did get one of the results wrong. And then on the back, I got one of my favorite players, Martin Odegaard, number 8, top midfielder. Yep. And then the one that I'm wearing, I got another one of my favorite players, Leandro Trossard, number 19. Way outperforming the expectations I had for him, because I think we signed him in January last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a starter at times. He's been a role player off the bench at times. But I didn't watch a whole lot of Brighton when he was at Brighton. Mm-hmm. But he overperformed at Brighton. And I think the Mikel Arteta system that Arsenal plays fits him perfectly, because his role is technically center forward. And I've seen games this season where he's played up top, played on the right, played on the left, played through the middle. So he's one of those, I like to call him the Swiss Army knife for this Arsenal team, because no matter where you put him in the attack, he's going to produce something for you. Mm-hmm. But that's just where I stand on that matter.
Odegaard's my favorite Arsenal player. There's no doubt about it. I'm just still shocked that, like, when he made that big move at like age 15 over to Spain, and after that it didn't go as well as it could have done. I was shocked nobody really took a chance on him. Arsenal took a chance on him on loan, and they got the chance to sign him. And yeah, you could see, like, trying to move across to a big team like Barca, that's always, was it Barca or was it Real Madrid?
Real Madrid. Right? It was Real Madrid.
Like, yeah, trying to move to a team like that, that's so difficult to break into that team. But as a 15-year-old, that's going to be almost impossible. And, yeah, I say Arsenal made a good move with that. With regards to Trossard, I think that's important for the forwards, though, that you don't just play one position. Because if you stay in one place, the defender knows what to do. That's one of the things I like about the Liverpool forwards, is they'll switch roles. Like, just because you got Diaz playing, that doesn't mean he's on the left wing. Mm-hmm. One minute you're going to see him on the left, and the next minute you're going to see him on the right. And that's really difficult to, you've got to switch marking roles. So I think that's important when you got somebody like Trossard who can play in multiple different roles. But helpful if you got injuries as well. You suddenly got an injury. Hey, you're playing left wing this week. Oh, we got another injury. You're playing right wing this week. That makes a big difference when you've got players that can play in multiple roles.
So the last jersey I want to talk about before I pull up some of the things on screen here that I'm looking at for this soccer.com sale. And it's like the way they do their warehouse sales is whatever you have in your cart, that's when you get the discount. And it's like most items, it's a 45% discount. And then on some, like, they're doing what they call bundle items. Like, I think I saw somewhere where I can get like a mystery box of jerseys where, like, I just tell them, put my size in, mm-hmm. send you a box for like 85% off or something like that. Because, mm-hmm. like, I don't think from the time of this recording, I may or may not have got paid. But as of right now, I don't think I get paid until Friday when I go back to work. And the amount of self-restraint I've had to have to wait to get paid during this warehouse sale is insane. But like I told my mom, I said, hey, look, as soon as I get paid, I'm going to get 1 to 2 jerseys on the sale. And I'm saving up for a computer. For a desktop, because you can't pass up 45% off when you know you're paying $150 to $200 for a jersey, and that's if I can get for two jerseys for if I can get two jerseys for under $400, well, I mean I might be paying close to $200 with tax and possibly shipping, but who cares? I save money at the end of the day, and the thing with like working retail, sometimes you work 20 hours in a week. Sometimes you only work 5. So like it fluctuates, but like I can't. But right now with my job, because we're about to enter the busy season, which is the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
When we hit the summertime, I'm probably going to be working 4 or 5 days a week. Sometimes even getting called in. So once we enter that busy season, that's when I can start saving up a little bit more and start spending just a little bit more than I would because I'm working more regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But and I can feed my problem of buying very expensive shirts that are, going to be hanging in a closet and, that I'll only wear for YouTube podcasts when it comes to different guests. So
when does the sale end?
I didn't mean to go on the table. What?
When does the sale end?
I have no idea, but it started yesterday, okay. I think. But
okay, I was trying to figure out like if that was the dilemma that you have, like the sale ends say Thursday and you don't get paid till Friday, or if you're just the sale's on for like a couple of weeks, but you just like I want to get them now. I don't want to wait till Friday. Like it's okay. It's the latter one then.
So I'm looking at the website. They got U.S. national team, Mexico, Argentina, Inter Miami, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Chivas, Barcelona, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United, PSG, Tottenham, Club America. So they got Bayern Munich, you know, they got all the big clubs on there.
So what are you eyeing up right now then? Is there anything that's caught your eye?
So actually, I want to buy more smaller club stuff because this next shirt was the first like real small club championship level shirt that I bought. So I've been eyeing a lot of that, but the problem is with the gotta do the, you know, pounds to dollars conversions and gotta figure out international shipping and all of that. So this is probably my favorite one in the bunch. This is my baby, I call it. This is the 22-23 Burnley home shirt, the year they were sponsored by Classic Football Shirts, which is where I bought it. So one of the main reasons why I wanted it is because one of my good friends in the YouTube world, he's a big Burnley fan. So in Classic Football Shirts, you don't see them sponsoring shirts that often. Plus I heard Uni Bro makes good kits and whatnot. So this is last season's kit when they were in the championship. Mm-hmm. I remember fondly, I believe they beat Fulham's point record the year before. Because they had like 101 total points at the end of the year last year. I think Fulham only had like 97 or something like that. But they were close to breaking Fulham's goal scoring record. But I don't think anybody's going to beat that record anytime soon. Leicester City, I thought they were going to do it at the beginning of this year. But they fell off and Leeds might do it, but I don't know. Because the 21-22 championship season, where Fulham won it and got promoted back into the Premier League, Alexander Mitrovic was on a different level that championship season. Like nobody could stop him. Yep. And I think he scored the most goals in like one season in championship history or recent. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and get into why this one, out of all the shirts that I have, this one's my baby, because it is a authentic Burnley kit, which I don't have a lot of smaller clubs in my collection. I got all the big clubs, but none of the smaller ones. This is a championship branded shirt, and it's actually from England and Classic Football Shirts. So this is why I have it to a high regard, because it's actually from England. I think it was like $80 after the conversion. I think the price was like 80, 85 pounds, something like that. So that's roughly in the $75 to $80 range. And the thing that I was most surprised about is international shipping with this one. International shipping is tend to be like expensive, but it was only $8. So it was pretty much like a bargain when it comes to international shipping. And we flip it over. It is midfielder Jack. I think it's Josh Cohen. It's either Josh or Jack Cohen. Number 24. One of the best midfielders, I think, in all of England. One of my favorite things about this is you get the championship numbers, like the championship font numbers and name tag, sponsored by the British Red Cross, apparently an official charity partner of the EFL. And then down here, you get the little EFL logo down here. But sadly, I could not find a shirt with the championship league badge on one side. Next championship club I buy, I don't care if it costs extra, I'm getting one with the championship league badge.
Now, is that, I'm not sure. So once again, I'm just throwing things out here. Is that because, though, if you win the championship, then you're obviously in the Premier League. So why would you talk about being in the championship? Like, it's not significant anymore. Why would you want to hark back to something that was lower? In some cases, teams were embarrassed that they had to go into that division. Like, Newcastle were in that division for a while, not that long ago. Manchester City, if we're going back 15 years ago, I think it is, they were in that division. Like, they don't want to talk about that. You just want to focus. So I don't know if that's the reason or not.
Well, I just, so the championship, it's not shown, like, every single game's not shown here stateside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with ESPN Plus, you get select games, and they very rarely show League One or League Two games, unless it's, like, comes to the time for the playoffs. Like, I thought with the popularity of Wrexham, you know, skyrocketing the past couple years with the documentary being on Hulu in the States and Disney Plus elsewhere, I would think that they might have worked out a deal with ESPN to get at least a select number of their league games broadcasted in the United States. Of course, for non-cup games. But I don't know why. Apparently, it's not up to the clubs for the TV, for the international TV deals. It's like up to the EFL, which is kind of dumb. But like,
I think they're working on it. I have heard that because of that Wrexham connection. And it sounds like the deal is going to be worth a lot more than what it would have been if Wrexham wasn't part of it. Just because I actually saw the Philly Fanatic was at a Wrexham game this weekend. It's like, oh my gosh, there's that American connection there. I'm sure
Rob
Philly.
Rob McElhenney's from Philadelphia. So
yeah.
There you go.
Oh. But they're working on it. But yeah, it's like everything. It takes time. They want to get close for it.
I was looking yesterday, because there's like 8 or 9 games left in like the League Two season. And the half season price for the video version of Wrexham iPlayer is $50.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, do I spend $50 now and get 8 games and have to pay $100 next season? Because it's looking like they're getting promoted. You know, they're sitting third in League Two. Mm-hmm. You know, League Two is not like the championship. You know, if you finish 1 through 3, you're automatically promoted. Yeah. And then I think 4 through 7, you're in the playoffs.
Correct.
So do I hold out now, save up a little bit more money, work over the summer, and then before the season next year, buy the 24-25 video pass for Wrexham? But I think that's what I'm going to hold out doing.
Okay.
Because watching the documentary just made me fall in love with the story of Wrexham itself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before the Hollywood owners came in, they were on the verge of bankruptcy. Like, they were not going to exist anymore.
Yep.
And then they come in and then invest all this money and bring in a player. I think it was the first full season of the takeover, they bring in Paul Mullen when they were in the National League. And yeah. Paul Mullen, I think, was playing out in League Two at the time. So they convinced him to come down 2 levels and play for Wrexham. Well, fast forward to this year, he's on the verge of breaking the career scoring record for Wrexham. Because I believe at the time of this recording, he currently sits at 96 club goals for Wrexham. And I think if he scores, if he hits 100 career goals for club, he gets that record. But Paul Mullen is a player that I've recently liked. You got Elliot Lee. Ben Foster came out of retirement, you know, won them promotion. Then he allowed 5 goals in a league game and a 5-5 draw, which is absolutely insane. Then he decided, I'm done. I'm going to go focus on my podcast now. And now they got Arsenal, Loney, Okinawa in goal, who's had steady performances from them from what I've seen this season. And I think if Wrexham want to solve their goalkeeping issues, they say, all right, Arsenal, we're going to give you this much money to permanently sign Okinawa, because Arsenal's already loaded with goalkeepers. They got David Raya on loan from Brentford currently, who they're more than likely going to buy this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Ramsdale may or may not be shipped out. And then there's a big rumor that they're looking at Patrick Schulte from Columbus as their backup, who is also gaining interest from Wolves and Manchester United. But I don't want Schulte to leave because he can develop here. But when you look at the history of American goalkeepers, in the Premier League, i.e. Zach Steffen, Matt Turner. It never works out. But there's my little rant on.
Well, I was going to throw – I thought you were going to say the opposite, because off the top of my head, I was thinking of people like Brad Friedel. I was thinking about the Everton keeper, whose name I cannot remember.
Brad Friedel, Brad Guzan, and Tim Howard are the exceptions.
Tim Howard. So, no, I guess that's probably more 90s, though. That's probably showing my age there, as I'm thinking of those ones. But, yeah, perhaps more recent ones, possibly not so good. Now, I don't know how much you know about your history, because this is way before you were born, but I want to say it was 1991-ish, FA Cup, number one in the league, Arsenal, versus 92nd position, Wrexham, in the FA Cup. And it was one of the big FA Cup shocks of all time. Mickey Thomas with an absolute... All right, you're nodding, so you do know that one. Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew that history for that one. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with Wrexham. I'm loving watching the documentary, and I'm loving watching Wrexham, and it's absolutely awesome. But my home team is Chesterfield, and because they didn't get promoted that first season, the season that's currently been shown where they have got promoted, that was the one that stopped Chesterfield getting promoted. So Chesterfield are definitely getting promoted this year. It looked like they might even beat Wrexham's record of number of points, but they kind of slowed down in the end. But I think they're still at least 20 points clear, so they'll be up there for next year for sure. So I'm kind of glad Wrexham move on as well.
If you want to talk about old goalkeepers, my favorite goalkeeper of all time, Peter Schmeichel, one of the best to ever do it. The dude was just I don't know if you would call him a sweeper keeper, but he defined the sweeper keeper role before the sweeper keeper was a thing. If you're a young goalkeeper and you want to play off your line a lot and you want to play that sweeper keeper role, Peter Schmeichel's the best one to watch in that term.
Yeah.
Because he's just absolutely one of the best to ever do it.
Oh, I don't like Manchester United, but you have to respect Peter Schmeichel. He was an absolutely phenomenal keeper. And I also respected him because in high school, I'm sure we weren't supposed to do this, but the rules on gambling were a little different at that time. We had a sweepstake of who was going to win Euro 92. And we did the draw, and everyone laughed as I picked out Denmark. I was like, oh, for God's sake. Like, they shouldn't have even been in that tournament. I think they only got in because Czechoslovakia, I think it was, or Serbia, or one of those teams couldn't take part because of the atrocities going on at that time. So they were a late entry into the tournament, and then, yeah, they were phenomenal, mainly behind Peter Schmeichel. So, I won a few quid on that. I can't remember how much it was, but nothing. I think it was a pound each.
Who would have picked Portugal to win Euro 2016 or picked Italy to win Euro 2020 or 2021, whatever you want to call it? And so we're talking about the Euros, and we got the Euros this year, summer.
Yep.
You want to know who I'm picking to win the Euros?
England?
If it all comes together, England should win that tournament because on paper, they got the best squad in the tournament. Portugal's getting older.
Yep.
Germany's getting older.
Yep. Germany's massively struggling right now.
Italy, did they make the tournament?
I don't even think. I was going to say they've been struggling as well. I'm not sure, but that tells you they're not one of the top three to win. That's for sure. Even if they are.
Spain, I think Jordi Alba and Busquets are retired from the national team. Mm-hmm. But Spain, they're a young team. They're a real good young team, but they just don't have enough experience. I'll tell you what, though. A team that I think is going to be a dark horse this Euros tournament, Scotland. Watch out for Scotland this year.
Wow.
Because I thought when they were drawn with Spain and Norway in qualifying, I thought they were dead in the water. I thought at the very least they would be in the third position playoff spot.
Yeah.
What did they do? They won the group convincingly. And they beat Spain and Norway.
Yeah.
And okay, so I'm gonna talk about Norway for a second.
Okay.
How do you have the best goal scorer in the world and Erling Haaland and one of the best midfielders in the world and Martin Odegaard and not qualify for two straight major tournaments in the World Cup and the Euros? It's embarrassing.
I could say the same sort of thing of Wales a few years ago. You've got Ryan Giggs playing there. You got players like that. You've got Gareth Bale. Now, I know Wales are starting to qualify for a few more tournaments, but it's a team game. Unfortunately, having two players is just not enough. Although certain countries, Romania always used to get by on one player. It was always Georgi Hagi. That was like enough. That was enough. But no, that's unfortunately the modern game. It's the standards are getting higher and higher, and one or two players by themselves. If you can't get the ball to Haaland, you're in trouble. Like, you can put two people on Haaland, and you make sure Martin Odegaard doesn't get the ball, you got to find another way. So they will definitely double team for things like that. And why wouldn't you? He's so good.
One of the things that I think is going to help Scotland this year is, first of all, their goalkeepers are injured. Everybody's getting injured for Scotland. But if Scott McTominay and, well, Andrew Robertson, he's injured, and I think he's their captain.
He's back. Okay. Yeah, he played in the FA Cup loss to Manchester United. He started.
Well, that's a huge boost for him. Oh, if absolutely. He's going to be playing.
Yeah.
Scott McTominay. Mm-hmm. He has to be on a different level. Connor McCullum, who am I thinking of? Plays for Celtic. Midfield.
Oh, don't know. I'm not good with Scottish Premier League football anymore. I used to be, but those times are long
gone. I barely watch Scotland, well, the Scottish League, because it's hardly ever on. And when it's on, it's teams like Rangers or Celtic. But, going to another tournament that I'm excited for, Copa America. That's going to be a fun tournament, especially being in the United States. Speaking of the United States, they play Jamaica tomorrow, Thursday, which probably already happened by the time this was done recording. Jamaica, they have a bunch of injuries and suspensions. Like Mikel Antonio pulled out today due to injury. Andre Blake, he's not on form right now with Philadelphia. Leon Bailey's out with an injury. Mm. And then Amari Gray's out with suspension. And then they have a couple of other players out with suspension as well. So they'll be playing their B team in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinal against the United States on Thursday. Mm. And the United States should win that 2-0 easily. I mean, well, we got Greg Berhalter as manager, so that anything can happen. But for CONCACAF, this is our tournament. The Nations League is our tournament. We've won it 2 years in a row, going through for a three-peat. We're the only champions to ever win the tournament. But it's going to be fun. And I say if we don't make it at least to the semifinals of Copa America this summer, it's a disappointment. Because when we look at the Ivory Coast, they won AFCON on their own home soil. Qatar won Asian Cup at home. There's no reason, there should be no excuse for the United States not to win or at least compete in Copa America at home. But then again, you got a injured Argentina squad, an injured Brazil squad. I don't know who else is in there, but yeah. And then Canada, they play Trinidad and Tobago, I think tomorrow or Friday. Winner of that game goes into the same group as Argentina, and they play Argentina first game of the tournament. And then we got the Olympics coming up.
Uh-huh. I want to go back to the Euros just for a second. Now, I did see somebody say, hey, this is like my shock take. I think, how is this team not going to win the Euros? And it was a picture of the England team. But as I looked at the England team, Harry Maguire, centre defence, like, that does not instill confidence in me, instill confidence even. I just don't think he has so many errors in that. Like, he always looks nervous when he's defending. I know he has a lot of experience. So I'll tell you who my team is, and then you can, who I think is going to win, and then you can tell me why you think England's better. France. You got Mbappe up front, and you always have that collection of young players who are always good. Players like a Konate, who might not be a super big name right now, but he's an absolute rock in defense. And they always have players like that who you might not be as familiar with, but they're always quick. They're always good at passing. To me, France should be there. And if they're not the favorites, I'm shocked. I understand England's got a good team, but that defense is rocky. And I'm not convinced with Jordan Pickford in goal either.
France is getting older. Simple as that. They're getting older. Yeah. I mean, they got Mbappe. They got... Who else they got?
Well, I guess Olivier Giroud might be getting... He's still in it. He's like late 30s now. But he's still can do the job. I think they have players that can get
Antoine
the job.
Antoine Griezmann is still getting called up for France. And he's nearly... I think he's nearly 35.
If you're good enough, you're old enough. Like, he doesn't look like a 35-year-old. That's the difference. I think that's
he's starting to hit his stride with Atletico that he should have hit 2 years ago.
Exactly. Like, I think France is the team to beat, personally. I don't think England's the team to beat. I'm thinking England should get at least to the semifinals, but I don't think...
One of the things that makes me mad, and I'm sure England fans feel the same way, why would you start Harry Maguire at center back when you have a guy named Facundo Tomori playing regular minutes in Serie A with AC Milan, one of the best center backs in all of Italy? Why not call him up?
There's a lot of questions with his picking policy. Like, I was shocked, even as a Liverpool fan, I was shocked that Henderson, like, he was going to look at Henderson in Ajax. I think that time's passed.
He called in Jordan Henderson when he was in Saudi.
Yeah, like, so I don't always agree with Southgate's picking policy. Like, he'll go with the same sort of people over and over again. Yes, the familiarity is a good thing, but sometimes it's like, there's better players out there. You have to bring in. If you've got a player who's phenomenal right now, you got to bring that player in. But he doesn't want to do that on a regular basis.
And, when you have, I'm going to talk about Harry Kane because I love Harry Kane.
Okay.
Harry Kane can only get you so far, and he's getting older. So I don't think he has more years. Maybe has, what, two, maybe three more years left in him before he retires because he's only getting older. I don't think – Ollie Watkins is only getting older. Solanke, Watkins,
Solanke's only about 25, 26. I don't think he's that old.
I think if – if Bournemouth were to sell Solanke to a bigger club where he would get minutes, he would get looked at more. But I think it's just because he plays at Bournemouth right now, he's not getting many look-ats from England.
I think heard Arsenal might be interested in him.
Shit, I'll take him. I'll take the Greek from Porto. Can't think of his name. But he's like one of the most sought out after strikers in the world.
I'm not very good on Portuguese football. I cannot help you on that one, I'm afraid. Although I didn't. Oh, unless it's that 19-year-old. I think I've heard Liverpool connected with as well, and I heard like everybody who's anybody is interested in him. And you're already looking for like 100 million for him. If it's that person, I'd never heard of him until I heard the name, until I saw the report. Power of Google's gonna bail us out here, I think.
I have his name. I can see his face.
That's great for an audio podcast.
I can see his face. I just can't think of his name.
All right, while you're looking up then, I'm going to do my good card then. So I actually picked up, obviously when I was thinking of Columbus, I was thinking of the Blue Jackets straight away because I've been to see the Blue Jackets before. And I love this card. It says, welcome to Columbus. And then on all the different letters, it's got different players on here. And this was going to be my introduction to you, but seeing as you decided to switch the order. So I had my, I think it's Patrick Laine. I think it's pronounced Laine, L-A-I-N-E. I didn't even realize he was Columbus. I thought he played for a different team. That's how close I follow up on.
He got traded to Detroit.
Last night
and scored the game-winning goal for Detroit.
Okay. That card's already out of date. And the card that I said I'd lost, I actually found today. I was like, oh, I wonder if I put it here. So I was going to talk about the different teams. I was going to talk about the Clippers, obviously the Crew. I couldn't find any cards for the Crew, or if I did, they were too expensive. And probably if people from England will be least familiar, I would say of all the teams that I've just mentioned so far, none of them are the biggest team in Columbus. Whereas people in Ohio would know the biggest team in Columbus is obviously going to be Ohio State. And I did not even know that Chris Carter went to Ohio State. Like, there's a lot of top players who went to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I did not know Chris Carter was one of them. I remember following him when he was playing for Minnesota. I just love the hologram effect on this card. So my good card was, I have a college card now, Chris Carter, Revolution, Ohio State. And I'm not sure if this, I was looking for this. I'm not sure if this is the Ohio State Stadium. Actually it is. 2025 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium season will feature the Columbus Blue Jackets. Oh my gosh, this has just taken on more significance. Hosting the Detroit Red Wings at historic Ohio Stadium on Saturday, March 1st, 2025. So, Patrick, when he comes back then, that'll matter a little bit. I love those stadium series, the outdoor games, but the tickets are ridiculously expensive.
Chelsea and Manchester City are playing a friendly in August there.
Oh, okay. I have tickets for Liverpool Arsenal in Philadelphia. It was way more than it should have been, but I was like, I'm not going to WrestleMania this year because those tickets were absolutely ridiculous. These were about half that price, and I was like, I'm going to get to see. I know I'm not going to see the main players for Liverpool, but I'm going to see some of those younger players who really impressed me this summer anyway.
The striker I was thinking about is Victor Gregoris.
Oh, actually, that was not who I had in my head then. So, no, that's nobody I'm familiar with. Actually, I think the player I was thinking of had a more Spanish-sounding name anyway. So, Francisco, you did say Trincao. Greek, and I wasn't thinking. Yeah.
You're probably thinking of Trincao.
That name doesn't sound familiar either to me. It might not have been Porto. It might just have been a Portuguese team, and it didn't really resonate with me because it wasn't a name I'd heard of before. So, yeah. All right, what do you got for your wild card? What do you got for your wild jersey then? This course can be, you can interpret wild as however you like.
Completely forgot about a wild card and I don't have one.
You don't have any other jerseys? They must be.
I mean, they're back there. I can dig them out, but I really don't want to dig them out.
Well, I got one. So originally what it was going to be was that Welcome to Columbus card was going to be my good. The Indians players were going to be the bad. And then the Chris Carter was going to be my wild. But since I couldn't find that one, I had to have a backup. So since we're doing jerseys, I thought I should probably pick out a jersey as well. I do not have many soccer jerseys. But I do have this England jersey that unfortunately doesn't fit me because I've put on 20 pounds since the summer. But I did want an England jersey. I really like the design of this one. I'm not sure if it's the 23-24 season. I'm trying to look to see if it says on the inside. It doesn't say, but I like the blue colouring on this one. It reminded me of an England jersey I had when I was younger. And I decided to pick out Trent Alexander-Arnold, number 22. And for my wild connection, why did I pick this as wild? Is it wild that people don't want Trent Alexander-Arnold in the England team? Like, there's so much debate, like it should be Kyle Walker. Like, he gets overlooked a lot. And then my other question was going to be to you, how about this for a wild idea, although it's not wild because many people have pitched it. Trent plays in midfield. We've got Liverpool have people like Connor Bradley who can play right back now, who's arguably a better defender than Trent anyway. But there's my questions to you. What do you think about Trent Alexander-Arnold then, Connor?
I mean, I don't mind Trent. I mean, he's a good player.
Oh my gosh, the vocabulary. I can already see that you're not a Trent fan then. Okay.
I can take it or leave it.
Okay.
But I don't know. When it comes to like certain players, I'm really just meh on them.
Oh, okay. All right.
But there's like, I don't know how to describe
it. Well, let me ask you then. Have you been impressed? I don't know if you've seen many Liverpool games, but have you been impressed with Connor Bradley in the few games that he's played?
He looks real solid. Hopefully he gets more minutes, but I don't know. You never know with Liverpool, especially with the new manager coming in the summer. You just never know. But
I'm glad that he's had a chance to play before the new manager comes in, because sometimes people won't pick young players like Klopp does. But now they've kind of seen what he can actually offer to the team. I think he has a much better chance of being able to get more minutes for next season. Now people have seen how good he is. And people are talking about him. People are saying he's better than Trent as a right back. So I'm hoping that might push Trent into midfield. But I don't know. Perhaps that's not his position. Perhaps that's why he does play right back. But hey, please promote away, though. This is the ideal opportunity. Tell us where to find you on X or Twitter. Tell us about some of those podcasts where we can find you. Unfortunately, no more on the volley. Mm-hmm. Oh, shed a tear or two on that one. It was an emotional time.
If you want to get on my soccer talk, when I want to think about just pretty much anything related to sports, soccer, rather that be Arsenal, crew, US men's national team, whatever. My Twitter is at Connor Knows Footy. That is KONOR and then Knows Footy, all one word. The YouTube channel is back. It is called Connor Knows Soccer. I'm doing crew watch alongs on there for now. And then hopefully in May, when I get the permanent, the desktop set up and the permanent house, I'm going to start hopefully a bi-weekly podcast called On the Touchline. So what On the Touchline is, it's going to bring different people from all around the soccer content space. Sometimes not soccer, sometimes depending on who I can get and what connections I can and how many people answer their DMs and how many officials answer their emails. We might have a broadcaster on. We might have a Crew 2 player on. But mostly it's going to stick to content creators right now. I got two lined up right now. But so On the Touchline, I think the motto is going to be a soccer podcast, but not a soccer podcast, which pretty much it's going to be focused on the guest and wherever they want to take the conversation, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm real excited for On the Touchline. I hope it does good because On the Touchline is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. I wanted to do something on my own and do something independent, and On the Touchline is where to start. So hopefully the first episode will be out early June. Just again, depends on work and when we can get in the house and the internet and all that fun stuff. But I'm shooting for a summer release. And then again, all of the crew watching longs, I'm going to try to be consistent with those all season long. Again, with the work schedule, you just never know. But yeah, that's my plan, and where you can find more of me and see me and hear me talk and rant and whatnot.
And you're making me want to start Good Bad Baseball again right now. That's really my passion. Wrestling is not my passion. I'm quite happy talking about wrestling, but baseball is really my passion, and this kind of collecting thing as well. I like talking about collecting things. I like talking about objects that people are passionate about and why people have the collections that they do. And yeah, that's cool. All right, check Connor out. Actually, if you didn't get any of those, check in the notes. I'm sure I can remember to put those in the notes so everybody can find you. And hey, appreciate it, Connor.
All right, thanks for having me on. Hopefully next time I'll have a closet full of more crap that we can go over.
Hey, I'm always in for buying more crap and talking about it. I love an excuse to go onto eBay.